Amen. I think y'all just went ahead. Amen. Amen. I certainly have enjoyed what's gone before me and what John has said this morning. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be here, and he caught me by surprise. I started bringing my Bible this morning, but I said, well, the reason I don't, usually we got Bibles in the pews, and I usually use those to, when John's, whoever's preaching. My Bible and this Bible, King James Version, it reads the same. So I pray the Lord bless me to find some scripture. What John said, I want to talk to you about one of the great benefits and blessings of Almighty God to His people this morning. And I want to start in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, a very familiar portion of scripture. We've heard it quoted many times, but I'm going to read it in case I don't quote it right. Because there's a few things said by way of introduction to this text that I would also like to read. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, and the Chronicles are recordings or a history of God's people, and especially at this part of the Chronicles or the book or the writings of God is concerning Solomon and him building and finishing the temple and what transpired. The scripture said in verse 11 of this chapter, 7 of 2 Chronicles, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came under Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house, he prosperously affected. Amazing how he was able to build all this. Amazing how he was able to get the cedars of Lebanon. Amazing how those cedars, I made a study one time of how, John, how those cedars got down there. They were cut down over in Lebanon, and King Cyrus, who was a Gentile, got these cedars ready, and they floated them in. And the house of the Lord was made. I used this, Brother James, one time. I said, all of God's people that's in the house of the Lord comes through the water. In other words, we come through the water. And a lot of good types and examples in the Scripture, but it's amazing how he got all this material. The Scripture says in his house he built it, those cedar logs and those cedar trees that were cut down, the workmen, they fixed them. And whenever they got that, when they got floated in and got ready for Solomon to put them in the temple, they didn't have to take the broad axe and the foot edge and the drawing knife and the plane to work them over. They was already fixed and they fit just exactly like they were supposed to fit. Another good picture of the church. When God adds his people to the church, we fit, don't we? We fit. We have a place. We have, so many things we can say about Solomon. The Bible says in the stone makers, all these wonderful stones, and they chipped them and fixed them and fitted them. And when Solomon got to ready, when they got ready to put them in the temple, they all just fit right in place. You're a builder, and you can. I'm sure you can appreciate this. How these men were able to fashion this material and put it together, and it all fit right in place. So this building that God had, lots we could say this morning. You know, God gave David the plan for this, but he wasn't allowed to build the building. But he raised up Solomon. I see God's sovereignty in the Bible, throughout the Bible. When God gets ready to do something, he does it according to his own way and according to his own purpose. So he raised up David's son, Solomon, to build this great house. And the scripture said, and Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and he finished also his house, or the king's house. And all that came to Solomon's heart to make the house of the Lord in his own house, he prosperously affected. And his dad said, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. He said, then if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Won't you notice God's sovereignty? This tells me that God can shut the heavens up so it don't rain. If I shut up the heavens so there be no rain, and if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, then this is what we want. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. and mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. In this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Now, if I had a title of what I want to talk about this morning, the title of what I will talk is the salt effect. I want you to mean the salt effect. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth." I'm going to get back to this, but I want you to notice what we're talking about here. We're talking about the matter of Solomon's prayer. And Solomon goes on to tell us the great truth of the dedication of this temple and so on and this house. But he said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, ye are the salt of the earth." You know, the Bible gives us, Brother John, this great benefit of prayer. He bids us to pray. If my people, and I want you to notice he didn't say that if the people of this world, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and shall turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. I was really blessed this week, and I hope you accept what I'm going to say. I don't look at much news anymore because it's always somebody killing their wife or hiding their body or some little kid being kidnapped or raped, murder, and torture. And I just can't, as I get older, it just plays on my emotional being to some degree. But I try to look at the news about 30 minutes to an hour a day, usually late in the afternoon, to try to see what's happened that day. But I was amazed to see the governor of this state, Governor Sonny Perdue. I knew he had called a meeting on the steps of the Capitol, and that they were going to have prayer and invited people from different faiths and different orders there. And it showed Governor Perdue sitting there with his wife, holding his wife's hand, with great concern. You could tell on his face praying, and it showed him as he said, "God, we need you." That thrilled my heart. God, we need you. God, we need help. And if you knew, and if the folks in Atlanta knew, and the folks in that area knew exactly what was going on, I tell you, I believe it caused most all of God's people in this state to cry out, because I want to tell you, my friend, those people are just about out of water up there. And Atlanta gets their water from the stream that flows down from the Great Smoky Mountains, especially the Chattahoochee River. I was up there not too long ago. Went up there to see the leaves. We went to a mill that a lot of you are familiar with. I believe it's Nora's Mill, John. Is that? I wanted to get some cornmeal and some rolled oats. I like the oatmeal that they roll and fix in. And I noticed the Chattahoochee River. We thought we'd see a lot of fish out there, but the Chattahoochee River that comes on down and furnishes the water in the lakes that Atlanta gets its water from, it was barely a trickle. It was running just enough from to turn the mill and to grind the corn and to make the oats, because of the lack of rain. And I'm not here to say what God's done or what He hadn't done, but God said He can hold up the rain, and God can send the rain. And you know, I personally know that man can't make it rain. If they could have, I don't know if you remember back in the 50s and the great drought that we had in Florida, and so many orange groves died. They even brought in some Indians from out in Oklahoma to do a rain dance, and it didn't rain. They sent airplanes up in the sky and seeded the clouds, I believe, with I believe it was carbon dioxide crystals. And they said, "Well, we're going these citrus growers and big citrus owners and packing houses, they paid big money to get people to come and try to make it rain. It didn't rain. But finally it did rain. When God was ready to send rain, He sent rain. And I'm not saying that God always punishes His people or punishes the nation by withholding rain, but God said He can send, He can withhold the rain, and He can send the rain. And our prayers has something to do with God sending the rain. Do you believe that this morning? I certainly do. You know, those those agnostics and atheists, they certainly criticized our governor, if you saw this. And they said, well, it didn't rain but a half inch, but they told a lie. And a lot of places they got an inch of rain. And somebody said, well, that's not enough rain to do any good. In other words, we need a lot of rain. It don't matter how much, if it did, you can't tell me 1 inch of rain. Brother Wyman, you know it's farming. I tell you, 1 inch of rain can do a lot of good. You can't tell me some of that rain didn't flow down that mountain, those mountains, and into the Chattahoochee River and into Lake, is it Lake Lanier and Lake Sinclair and all those lakes. I've been up there around those lakes. John lived in Tocoa, and I used to go by some of those lakes and Lake. I can't think of the name of the lake there, Tocoa, John. The big lake. That's right. Now, and I saw those lakes. And how the water was up the docks. Now then I see the pictures of them. The planes have flown over and the water's down and the docks sitting way up here on the hill and they can't even get their boats in the water. The lakes are about to dry up because of the lack of rain. If my people, I believe Brother Sonny Perdue knew this fact that if they would humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. He didn't preach a sermon, but a lot of people said, well, this, that they laughed and they scoffed and said, this is not going to do any good, but I believe it done some good. And I believe there's more than Sonny Perdue that prayed. I believe God's people has been praying. I believe here in South Georgia, where we're blessed with rain, we ought to pray because it'll finally affect us. Our underground water tables will go down. I remember down in Florida during this drought I'm talking about that most of us that had wells, and some of them were deep wells and some were shallow wells. We had to get the well people to come in and drill further and drop our well points on down further in the ground because the water table dropped. I don't know if, I guess you know that we're on the Ocala Aquifer here, and that's a great, great pond of water underneath, in these limestone caverns, and that's where we get our water from, and I suppose that's where Statesboro gets its water from. And if it don't rain, brother, and that rain seep down through the earth and refill these underground caverns of water, we'll be in the same shape that Atlanta's in before long. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I want you to thank me this morning. You're the salt of the earth. Some folks said, well, there's so much ungodliness and wickedness and immorality, and America has okayed this matter of abortion and all these little babies. God's going to punish you. It won't do any good. I think sometimes God's people say it won't do any good how much we pray because of the ungodliness in this land. You're the salt of the earth. Now, I want to tell you something about salt this morning. And that's something, you know, it don't take much salt to go a long ways. Amen. It don't take much salt to preserve something. It don't take much salt to keep something. I think some of you here know something about killing hogs this time of the year. This morning would have been a good time, wouldn't it, Brother Earl, to butcher them old hogs in the pen. And we used to buy salt, but 100-pound bags, bags of rock salt. And we'd put a layer of meat and a layer of salt in a big old box. And we would cure our meat. I won't go into all of that. Most of you, some of you know more about that than I do. The reason we put that salt on there, it was to preserve that meat, to keep it from spalling, to keep it from ruining. And also, if, I don't know if you like salt pork or not, I still, if I go to a restaurant that's got some salt fat back fried up, I just can't stay out of it. My cholesterol may be high, it may go higher, but it's something I was raised on, something I love, something I like, because the salt has preserved and has kept that meat. Remember this, it don't take a lot of salt to go a long way. It don't take a lot of salt to preserve a lot of substance and a lot of matter. Brothers and sisters, let me say to you this morning, God's people, let's pray because God hears His people's prayer. We may be in the vast minority. Governor Perdue may be in a minority of, as far as politicians and so far as people who believe in God in this state. But I tell you, God hears His people's prayer. We are the salt of the earth. The salt effect. We need to understand that as God's people. That we do, and we can affect the things that are around us. We can preserve, and we can have a keeping effect. And we can make things better in this old world by exercising our ability and our gift. This salt that we have didn't come from us, it come from God. God quickens a person born again by His Spirit. He puts the salt in us. And we need to, we're fixing to have a meeting.
I hope, Brother John, it's more than just a meeting. I'm not bragging, but I lay last night on my bed and I began to think about this meeting. And I began to pray, and I prayed for Brother Hooven. Brother John mentioned in his prayer this morning, Brother Hooven has been through some trials, trying times, I tell you. I've never known a man to have quite some of the afflictions that he's had, but he's come through it. He's done some praying in his church and his people. God's people have prayed for him. And I want to urge you to let's pray for him. He's just a sinner saved by grace. He'll tell you that this morning. He needs our prayer. He needs the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He needs his mind to be sharpened and quickened. And he needs that holy unction from within. He needs the anointing of God to preach to us. And we need the anointing of God to hear the message that he brings. I believe as we say that he's been called of God. I believe, brothers and sisters, that the church had voted to have him. And I believe God's going to bless us and give us a good meeting. And I pray I can be here. I hope I can come every service. I started not to come this morning, John. I said, I'm going to rest up so I can come to these other meetings. But I felt especially led to come to this meeting this morning. And now, remember this, you're the salt there. Salt can have a great effect on everything around it. But my friend, salt does not keep always. You say, well, it looks like it would, it don't. I remember one time Daddy bought some salt in 100-pound bags and we put it out in the smokehouse. And something happened, I don't remember. Something happened that year we didn't use all that salt. And I remember that salt, it lay out there in the smokehouse. It was pretty dry because we smoked meat. It kept things dry in there. But I remember that I went out there and those bags of salt had begun to deteriorate and it turned into just a white powder. And I took my finger and it wasn't very salty. Jesus said, if you have, you're the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost, listen, it's savor. That word means it's saltiness. It's good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Back in that day and time when salt did that, they took it and just cast it out on the street and people walked on it. My friend, I will send you as God's people. I believe this is the time of this meeting that's coming up. We pray that God will bless us, that our salt supply may be refurnished and may be renewed and be fresh and John, by the Spirit of God in our lives. You say, well, preacher, we've had meetings before, and we didn't have what some people call a great revival in Bethlehem. Let me send you, my friend, there's a salt effect for us here at Bethlehem. If we pray and seek His face, He'll send not only a natural rain from heaven, but He'll send a spiritual rain into our midst, and God will refresh us and bless us and help us. Now, let me go back to the salt effect. It don't take a lot of salt to do a lot of good. So let's not be discouraged. So I get discouraged, and I talked to a sister this morning, been in the hospital this week with bursitis. I said, tell you what, I hope if you hadn't ever had bursitis and arthritis and all these itises and tisms and isms, I hope you don't never have them, because I tell you, they may not be big things, but they can worry you to death. They can hurt you, and they can lay you up, make you feel mighty bad, and make you wallow around at night about wear the covers out and the mattress out, trying to get a good place to lay in. Let's not be discouraged. Let's pray. God is able to help us if He doesn't see fit to remove the affliction. My friend, God will give us the grace to bear up under the affliction. Paul prayed and the Lord didn't remove his affliction, but he said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for this problem. He told Paul that his strength was made perfect in his weakness. We don't know sometimes, Brother John, what the benefit of being a child of God is until we get on a sick bed, when we get something wrong with us. It seems that the doctor is not able to help. May God bless us to remember the salt effect. Now, I'm going to illustrate this with a verse or two of Scripture found over in the book of Romans. I've tried to preach, I think, on this subject here at Bethlehem, but I want to talk to you about this salt effect. And God's people, you know, we never have been in God's true people never have been in the majority. Amen. I want to talk to you about a remnant this morning. This remnant is a picture of salt. The Word of God tells us here in chapter number, I hope I can find it. I was just reading it a while ago. Here it is in chapter 11. Paul is talking, says,
here, said, God hath not cast, in chapter 11, verse 2, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What ye not, when the scripture saith of Elias, how he make intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, they that seek my life. And what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Do you ever feel like you're the only one, brother pastor? Do you ever feel like sometimes you're the only one? Do you feel like, brother, that you look at the TV and you talk about these television evangelists today that you is preaching today? It seems like you're not many preachers preaching truth today, and you begin to feel like you're the only one sometimes. But listen, you're not. God, my friends, talks about the salt effect here, and I want you to listen to it. He said, saith the answer of God unto Elias, I have reserved myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. And listen to this. Even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And I want to tell you, my friend, that verse is just as relevant right now as it was when Paul penned it to the Roman church nearly 2,000 years ago. There still remains a remnant according to the election of grace. Where sin does abound, brothers and sisters, grace does much more abound. God's still saving. God's still calling out some people. The reason I know He is because He hadn't come back yet for us. My friend, listen to me this morning. God has reserved a people. I'm not saying that those that met on the steps of Atlanta are certainly they were not all primitive Baptists. I'm saying God's got some people in this world. God's got a family. God's got some children. Oh, my friend, but God's got some churches. He has some primitive Baptists, the original Baptists, my friend, that teaches and preaches the same thing that John taught and that Jesus taught and that the apostles taught. They're still in the world today. We might be few in number, but all I want to say, I'm thankful for them this morning. I'm thankful that I believe according to God's foreknowledge and according to His electing grace, according to His ordination, that God has ordained that He'll always have a witness in this old world. Oh, I thank God for the salt that's in this world. I thank God to know that God has some people. I thank God for you this morning here at Bethlehem. You know, we're a small group of people here this morning, but we are remnant according to the election of grace. You know why I'm here, Brother Henry? Because God bestowed grace not only in eternal life, but God bestowed grace upon me to give His whole sinner a desire to be here this morning. I wanted to be here, Brother James, didn't you? I wanted to be here. I want to be at Old Bethlehem Church, this house of God, one more time. Oh, I want to tell you, I thank God this morning for this opportunity and this privilege because I'm seated here with a remnant of God according to the election of grace this morning. What is a remnant? A remnant is not the whole. A remnant is just part of the whole. I want to illustrate, and I think I used this one time before. Last night was about the coldest night we've had. I wasn't raised in a house with a gas or electric or any kind of heater control. I was raised in a house with a fireplace. I see some of you nodding in. I tell you, a fire would go out sometime during the night. And Mama was good at making quilts. I can still see her. I wish I knew where they were. If I did, I'd give them to you. Maybe one that might more learn to quilt. But quilting frames stretched out. And Mama would save all, and she done all of her sewing, and she would save all of her scraps, she called them. And she had a place in an old ship road there, set in the corner. She had put those remnants of those scraps of cloth. And then start getting winter time, I could still see her. She'd start sewing all them remnants of cloth together. And last night I slept under one of those quilts at the top. Was made out of those remnants. Now they were not the whole. Mama's done gone, and she wore out most of those dresses, probably, and some of those shirts she made for me. That those remnants of cloth came from, but they were all remnants, and they were all put together. I want to tell you, my friends, this morning that that's a beautiful picture, and I believe it's good. God has a remnant in this world. I believe there's a remnant here, and I believe there's a remnant over yonder, maybe in Vidalia. And there's a remnant up there in Athens, and there's a remnant around us of God's people. Especially, I'm speaking about this right now of His true churches, my friend. And the Lord has given us a remnant, but the Lord sees us as a whole, and they're beautiful to the Lord.
Oh, I tell you, that old quilt Mama made, it's just as pretty as it ever had. I looked at it the other day. Paula got it out and spread it on the bed. And it's got all those designs. How in the world that woman ever made anything out of nothing, I don't know. But you know, Brother Hindley, my mom was able to take nothing and make something out of it. Not in the sense that God creates, but she took those things that she had. And I still cherish her. I still love her. And I still enjoy the warmth of that old quilt. Don't you enjoy the warmth of God's remnant, knowing this morning that you're not alone? Bethlehem Church, we're not alone. We're not the only ones in this world. There's some more. I thank God, know that in God's family this morning. Like, I believe, surely this governor must be, it must be in God's family. It just thrilled my heart. It warmed my spirit to know that there was a man, the head of our state, as a king. It was in Solomon's day in the days of the Bible that the king of the state would call a prayer meeting and they would pray and God would send rain. That warms me this morning. My friend, the salt effect is a wonderful effect that God has blessed us with. There still remains a remnant in this world today according to the election of grace. May the Lord bless you. It's my prayer.